state, and exceeded the idea of proof and meat, which they can tell them that they will be. That's on you. And during the end over to you, to the presentation of the independent service, we had really now until about half the square.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. I know it is an immediate service. And good morning, honorable members of the Secretary of Community and Communication. And good morning to the members of the broadcasting family. Well, of course, SAPC is the mother body for all broadcasting in South Africa. So we welcome your interest. Chairperson, today I think we are 69 days old in office. It has been a very short time, but a remarkable short time, because we have engaged so intensely with the challenges of the SAPC that we have been almost meeting every day. We are now going to a stage where we believe we have grasped the meaning of the things we have heard about and seen, and we are dealing with them. So I will then proceed to make the introductory remarks. The general the group chief executive will then take over, and so we'll do the chief financial officer, and to update you on the progress we are making on the issues raised by the Auditor General, Mr. Gina, who chairs our turnaround strategy committee, will make that presentation. We are very happy to be with the portfolio committee, because it has shown a very clear grasp of the situation in our last interaction, and following your active participation in the affairs of the board, guidance, help in the past, we have come to see you as friends and not people who should be afraid to come before, because we know it's going to be constructive, it's going to be helpful. So we'll start off with the SAPC corporate goals, and then we'll come to the corporate plan for the MTF 2010-2013. We'll discuss under this the SAPC mandate, the SAPC vision, mission and values, our medium-term strategic focus, strategic projects, and our financial plan. We also have additional reports, the 2010 FIFA World Cup, the Auditor General South Africa report, license fee collection costs, and our turnaround planning unit. So, Chairperson, this is obviously going to be a big agenda. I'm glad that you've been on 3 hours. The board strategy to work in NS with an introductory and handover report on 13 January 2010. We have since established committees of the board and developed clear corporate goals, which will form the strategy roadmap. I have the pleasure of sharing these with the portfolio committee today, after which I will hand over to the group chief executive, who will continue and outline how executive management has translated our corporate goals into strategy and business plan for the next MTF period, which is 2010 to 2013. This being the year when our country will be hosting the most spectacular sporting event on earth, after the corporate plan presentation, we wish to indulge the committee with a brief presentation of the SAPC 2010 FIFA World Cup plan, with a view to give this house comfort that the SAPC is ready to make the country proud in protesting this historic event. We will also make presentations on the Auditor General Soroka's report and television license fee collection costs as requested by the committee on the 23rd of February. The SAPC corporate goals, the board adopted a set of corporate goals that are to guide strategy development of the corporation in the following framework: how we address what the General South Africa report on capacity and the crisis of capacity and the corporation, the issues around governance and finance, operations and stakeholder management. We, as I said, have started the process of addressing all outstanding issues. The delegation authority framework, responsibility and set performance timelines are being dealt with. We are monitoring and tracking up the cleanup process, which we have set a definite time period for. In terms of the capacity crisis, this involves issues around executive leadership. We want to ensure competent professional leadership, a professional leadership cadre. We want to ensure a competent professional educator by 30 June 2010. We want to complete the skills audit by 30 March 2010, and this work is very much advanced. We want to complete strategy-based structuring by 30 April 2010, and we want to implement the new structure in a phased responsible manner in consultation with all parties concerned. We want to assure the people of South Africa that, you know, when we're talking about restructuring, we're not talking about wholesale firing of people, but we need to define the profile, the job profile of all individuals, and then allocate them relevant tasks. If it does happen that there's going to have to be shedding of some jobs, then we will consult with you, because it's a serious matter, particularly at the time when the government is absolutely involved with job creation. In terms of governance and finance, we want to create an effective performance management system, and we have started this process. We want to ensure that adherence to performance-based contracts is actually implemented, and that we require accountability and consequences for non-delivery. This is being the bedrock of the SAPC board policy framework when it comes to human resources. We want to ensure appropriate risk management systems for the SAPC with emphasis on procurement, including the SAPC archives. In terms of financial matters, we are developing and going to improve, not in the distant future, appropriate remuneration and reward systems. The financial targets must exceed the government guarantee threshold to take account of servicing the debt adequately. We want to manage our liquidity just like any other company, with clear key management ratios, etc. We want to create an effective performance management system, as I've said, review and amend existing contracts by 30 June 2010. The adherence to performance-based contracts is an absolute requirement, because this is, again, the basis of accountability and our ability to take action for non-delivery or non-compliance. In terms of operations, we want consistency and demonstrable improvement in the quality of and demand for SAPC programming. We want to optimize audiences and commercial revenues. We are focusing on SAPC's primary social contribution, particularly news, sports, and locally created content and appropriate foreign programming. We want to make 2010 a memorable experience that even those who are 6 to 10 years today will remember as a most unique event in their lives. And we want to conduct in 2011 local government election coverage, which will be perfect as perfect can be. And we want to advance our digital terrestrial television migration, which is going to be a fairly complex process, particularly with the set of boxes not immediately available to everybody. But we are taking steps to ensure that every South African will enjoy the FIFA World Cup. As far as the SAPC stakeholders are concerned, we want to re-establish relationships of trust and confidence with all stakeholders, to develop a reputation among all stakeholders of ourselves as a professional, prudent, and reliable partner. And we want, in the process, to rebuild
self morale.
We want to show, ensure creation of a productive, professionally satisfying working environment in which performance is recognized and equitably rewarded. To restore pride and loyalty to FAB staff as contributors to a nationally acknowledged South African asset. We want to develop and implement proactive regulatory strategies, strengthening the corporation's relationship with corporate social partners. These corporate goals are the foundation upon which the Group Chief Executive Officer and the Chief Financial Officer and the Chairperson of the Turnaround Strategy Committee of the Board will now outline in terms of their presentation. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Dr. Benjamin, Chairperson of the CC Board. Chairperson, as you heard from the Chairperson of the SABC as a national public broadcaster exists to deliver a public service mandate. This mandate is embedded in legislation. Is embedded in legislation as well as regulations, policies, codes of conduct, and license conditions. Among others, the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa of 1996, the Broadcasting Act of 1999 as amended, the ICASA Act of 2002 as amended, the Electronic Communications Act of 2006. In terms of its legislative charter, the SABC is charged with meeting the broadcasting needs of all South Africans and is obliged to ensure access of its services to all citizens throughout the country, to inform, to educate, and to entertain, and to make services available in all official languages. Chairperson, may I request that in the interest of time, given that the members have the document that I'm presenting, I will skim through some of the areas which are critical. Just to save you time, so, because this is a very long document, so I will not stick to read line by line on this member. So in terms of the charter, the SABC is obliged to provide programming for children, women, youth, and people with disabilities, broadcast national, developmental, and minority sports, develop talent, and showcase South African content, and provide independent news of high quality standards. In executing our mandate, we are also guided by the SABC corporate goals that the chairperson has just outlined, the Memorandum and Articles of Association, the Public Finance Management Act, the PFMA of 1999, the Companies Act, the Shareholders Compact and Materiality Framework, and the King Report on Corporate Governance for South Africa. Our vision, mission, and values are reflected as such, Chairperson, that the vision is to broadcast for total citizen empowerment. The mission to be a people-centered, content-driven, technology-enabled, strategically focused, and sustainable public service broadcaster. Corporate values, conversations and partnerships, restoration of human dignity, building a common future. I should mention here, Chair, that the new board of the SABC has reflected upon this vision, mission, and values, and has expressed its intention to take the organization towards a transformation of its vision, mission, and corporate values. It is hopeful that by the time we come back next time, we'll be guided by a new vision, and mission, and corporate values. In terms of the medium-term strategic focus, over the past 24 months, we have noted that the SABC has faced a severe crisis, which has been characterized by a lack of leadership, a breakdown of government structure, and inadequate executive capacity, resulting in the corporation posting a loss of 910 million rand before income tax for the year ending 31st of March 2009. In an effort to contain and minimize this crisis, an interim board was appointed to stabilize the SAP. Parliament itself commissioned the Auditor General of South Africa to conduct an investigation into allegations of financial irregularities and breaches of corporate governance. The SABC continued, however, to experience liquidity challenges and was ultimately granted a 1.473 billion rand government guarantee, which ultimately led into a loan by one of the banks. Our strategic thrust in the forthcoming period, the MTF period, Chairperson, will focus on implementing a turnaround strategy plan. The long-term success of the turnaround strategy will require a fundamental review of the policies of the SABC, and it will also require the board and GCEO to adopt a three-phase turnaround strategy approach for the corporation. This has now already been announced by the chairperson of the SABC board, the first phase being to stabilize the corporation as a going concern for this year of financial year 2010 to 2011. Phase two will be to rebuild and realign the operating business model of the SABC, and phase three will be to implement a sustainable public service broadcasting model. Here are the targets for the phase one to stabilize the key focus areas and the key performance indicators. In terms of the mandate, we will seek to comply with all ICASA license conditions for radio and television services. In terms of our audience, focus areas will be to maintain the total SABC television audience share at 64%. We wish to grow the share of total SABC radio licenses from the 64.8% to 66%. Our financial target will be to regain share of television advertising revenue from 43% to 48%, and grow share of radio advertising revenue from 44% to 46%. Increase television license revenue from 979 million to 1 billion, and increase revenue from new media by 2%. Operations. We will seek to implement the interim organization structure to address the wage bill inefficiency. We will seek to review operational business models for the content enterprises, the news, sports, and other critical divisions within the organization. We will review the digital multi-channel broadcasting strategy, the DTC strategy. In the second period, where we'll be seeking to rebuild the organization, our key focus areas on the mandate will be to comply with all ICASA license conditions on radio and television services again. Our audiences will be maintained at the share of 64% for television and 66% for radio. This is a straight line performance, Chairperson, in spite of the intensifying competitive environment. As we know, the environment will be changing during the course of this year with the introduction of new licenses and also possibly paid platforms being launched on television. However, our intention is to retain our market share in spite of the increased competition. Financially, we still intend to grow our share of television advertising revenue from 48% to 52%. We'll grow our share of radio advertising from 46 to 48 and increase television revenue from 1 billion to 1.3 billion. Increase revenue from new media by 2%. On operations, we'll implement the organizational structure, the new organizational structure, to reduce the headcount and wage bill. We'll implement revised business models for content acquisition in the content enterprise, the news and the sport, and develop business processes that align the corporation to future multi-channel and multi-platform digital broadcasting environments. Yet again, in the third year, in spite of the increased competition and the emergence of new platforms on radio and television, we will seek in terms of our mandate to comply with the ICASA license conditions on radio and television. Our audience share shall be maintained at 64% on television and 66% on radio. Financially, we will seek to grow our share of advertising revenue from 52 to 55%, maintain share of radio advertising revenue at 48%, increase television revenue license by 2%, and increase revenue from new media by 2%. Operationally, we will be proceeding at that point with the implementation of the new organizational structure and continuing to reduce our headcount and wages. We will be implementing the content enterprise, news and sports business model, and we'll realign our business processes to future multi-channel and multi-platform digital broadcasting environment. In terms of our business strategy, Chairperson, the core business strategy of the SABC in this year in particular, where we are trying to pull the organization out of the deficit of nearly R1 billion, is to stabilize the liquidity of the SABC to that of a going concern. Concurrently, the SABC will have to be cognizant of predictions that 2010 will fundamentally change the media landscape as a consequence of technological changes, particularly digitalization. On the positive side, our strategic approach is encouraged by a report from a recent study by Deloitte and Touche that over 90% of all television watched and over 80% of all audio content consumed will still continue to be via the traditional broadcast media, which is largely terrestrial broadcasting. For the SABC, this means the corporation needs to continue its focus on creating content that is relevant for the core market, that is, our terrestrial linear television and radio, whilst at the same time identifying potential opportunities for exploiting content on new media platforms that will enable us to deliver digital and non-linear content, as well as adding value in terms of audiences and revenue. Here follows now, Chair, the business strategies of our various divisions, and I will speak here to your liberty to allow me to skim through a little bit because there's quite a number of divisions. I will just simply highlight a few issues. The first one, of course, is our biggest division in the SABC, which is the News and Current Affairs Division, where we will be seeking to restore the credibility of the SABC brand as the main storyteller for our people. We are aware that in spite of the investment that the SABC has placed in the previous years for the main bulletin at 7 p.m., we have lost market share. We need to restore that credibility and restore the prominence of that news bulletin. The biggest bulletin in South Africa today is still within the SABC stable, however, it's still one of our channels on SABC 1, the 7:30 news bulletin. So we will seek to become a credible source for stories about South Africa and the continent. And we will also seek to take the lead in determining perceptions of South Africans as 2010 FIFA World Cup host by carrying special news programs. During my presentation here, Chair, I will take you through our 2010 FIFA World Cup coverage there. But here we will also be thinking that our news should inform our people that the main event has arrived, it is here, and we must all finish. We will review our business model. with the aim to achieve wage bill efficiency within the news division, and also use international partnerships to mitigate and reduce international presence. We will seek to realign the structure of the news against strategic output and align to the workflow. In terms of our public broadcasting service division, the PBS, our audience target will be to grow PBS radio listenership share from 55% to 58%, SABC 1, 34% all adult audience share during prime time, SABC 2, 19% all adult audience share during prime time. And of course, our mandate will continue to be to meet all ICASA license conditions, and particularly to improve our universal access through the installation of low-power transmitters to reach 5 million more South Africans who currently have no access to SABC and television services. Financially, we will seek to drive cost efficiency and balance the mandate delivery within the PBS services, with revenue targeting 2.87 billion rand and expenditure lowered to 1.47 billion, the profitability being 1.4 billion rand. Our public commercial services, in terms of audiences, our scheduling shall seek to protect our existing audiences on television and radio, and will seek to grow our radio listeners from a share of 30% to 40%, and grow SABC3 audience share from 14 to 16% during prime time. Our mandate will also be to improve our universal access through the installation of the low power transmitter to reach the 5 million people of our country. Financially, we will drive the cost efficiency and seek to balance mandate delivery with the commercial imperatives. And our revenue target here will be 1.2 billion and reduce our cost to 545.8 million rand with a profit of 657 million. The content enterprise, which gathers content for us, for our platform, as we indicated, will seek to review its business model. And also, in doing that, we'll seek to ensure that the SABC sport investment strategy will be associated to the funding model. As you know, Chairperson, ICASA itself already has called for the review of the sports regulation in South Africa. The new divisional long-term strategy will be approved by our board and finally will be presented to this podium. In terms of the IP management, intellectual property management plan, we will seek to implement the SABC IP framework policy. We are right now having discussions with the independent production sector about the IP issue, which has remained a very sensitive issue among the independent producers. We are hoping that a media rights regime can be implemented in South Africa that eases the tension that exists between the independent producers and the broadcasters. Financially, we'll seek to increase the revenue on alternative revenue streams by 20 million and also offer content on new media platforms, and of course continue to exploit content and rights outside of the SABC, including outside of the borders of South Africa, which is also an issue that we are discussing intermittently with the independent producers. In terms of our technology chair, we'll provide technical services for the coverage of the 2010 FIFA World Cup. We will provide technical resources and facilities that will meet the requirements of production plans on air coverage on TV and radio, particularly during this period, as well as the requirements of the plans for the CENTCAS and the PDA, that are a requirement of the delivery of the FIFA World Cup. We will seek to consolidate all our IT islands within the SABC into a single unified IT environment, and this should happen by the third quarter of this year. We'll seek to consolidate all signal distribution and linking costs into a single business unit, and we'll ensure a day-to-day operational performance of this division to deliver a 99.9% service availability for all SABC online and mobile services, as well as television channels and everything. This division will be very critical, Chairperson, and this level of service delivery will be critical for us to deliver the 2010 World Cup. In terms of our audience services, its financial sustainability target will be to achieve a 1 billion cash collection target at a cost collection ratio of 19%. In a few minutes, the Chief Financial Officer will outline to you how this division is functioning and also respond to the question that was asked by portfolio committee members last time about the cost ratio of collection to the collected amount by the SABC's audience services. In terms of its operational efficiency, it will ensure that its inbound calls are at 80% and correspondence at 25%, 25%. It will improve the divisional quality of customer interactions and deliver a service level of 75%. The commercial enterprise, Chair, which is really the engine of our organization that drives our revenue delivery, also has very key performance targets for this fiscal, which is to meet the revenue target of 4 billion rand at a cost of sale ratio of 5.5%. The sales and trading strategy seeks to regain the market share from television and from 51.9% to 54% of sales, radio 41.2% to 45%, and will seek to capture from digital media 2% of revenue. We've also set trade marketing targets and also how to liquidate the acquisition cost of the FIFA 2010 World Cup, where we are targeting a revenue for the first time in such a huge event of 220 million, which will be seeking to liquidate our cost. We seek to attract also and develop the skills in that area, as you are very much aware that there has been a hemorrhage of skills in recent period. So we'll be seeking to enhance the skills base and improve the performance of our sales team to meet its revenue target. We have also imposed the requirement on our sales team to manage its debtors book, where we have sought to reduce the debtor days from 80 days to 60 days, and manage the credit loads that have been quite a serious problem, particularly in this last quarter of this fiscal of 2009-2010, to 30 days after invoice. We also seek to reduce the government debt by 75%. There are a significant number of government departments that have not paid the SABC, the public broadcaster, their duty. In terms of human capital services, the key performance area there will be to enhance the learning and development of our people. The remuneration and benefits targets are set as well, The lease benefit management are also set to be reduced by 70% by the end of this month, and the number of statutory lease days in comparison with April the 1st, 2010 number. We also seek to review the fringe benefits that are accruing with a view of implementing a flat rate that will reduce the risk of fraud and uncapped costs to SABC by 100% by September of this year. We also, key performance area here is employee wellness, where we seek to increase voluntary counseling and testing of HIV and AIDS by 10% every quarter. In terms of our employee relations, we seek to conclude recognition agreements with all three labor unions by the end of April 2010 in order to regularize the interaction with unions. We seek to negotiate and finalize new disciplinary codes by August 2010 to speed up and simplify resolution of disciplinary cases within the SABC. In terms of organizational development, we will have completed a workforce planning by September 2010 and review the current performance management in line with leadership pipeline strategies by July 2010. Our corporate affairs stakeholder relationship management is a key performance area. This division should have developed a stakeholder relations management policy to be in existence by June 2010. And by March 2011, we must have an MOU with the government department, GCIS, on a commitment that government will spend at least 10% of its expense with SABC. In terms of reputation and image management, it is to integrate and consolidate the public relations and communications efforts on brand building of the SABC by June 2010. And our internal communication and mobilization, it is to inform and create our staff awareness on the vision of the SABC and its corporate strategy. And of course, we hope that it will also be the champion to do the same for the new vision that the board will develop during the course of the year. These are our business strategies, Chair. Another strategic project that we seek to inform you about, of course, that is in the pipeline and that all of us know about this year, and the SABC as a national public broadcaster will have to rise up to the plate to deliver on, is the 2011 local government election. In 2011, our country will go to the polls, and it is only a well-informed citizenry that can properly exercise its democratic rights. The provision of balanced, fair and relevant news by our news division of the SABC on an ongoing basis is key to this objective. But beyond that, it is essential that the people of South Africa are fully informed of the entire election process as it unfolds. The SABC as a national public broadcaster is the only organization that is positioned to deliver news of the elections together with voter education programs to all the people of South Africa in the 11 languages of their choice. The SABC will present its election plan and request for funding assistance, which at this point, Chair, we estimate to be in the region of 50 million, to the Department of Communication later this month. The funding request, if granted, will positively impact on our ability to deliver on this mandate and will also improve our current financial position. Another significant strategic project that we seek to inform you about is the DTT, the Digital Terrestrial Television. In the year 2005, the Minister of Communications convened industry web groups to look at the opportunity for South Africa to migrate to digital broadcasting in order for the country to benefit from what is called the digital divide by freeing up the spectrum. We at the SABC are committed to working together with government and all stakeholders to facilitate this migration to DTT. The dual illumination period will be imperative in encouraging our citizens to purchase the set-top boxes to enable the analog switch over to digital. This, of course, will also be very costly to the SABC, which will not be able to recover those costs of programming being broadcast on DTT, as well as those that have been broadcast right now during the pilot period. And we will not be able to recover the major cost until approximately 5 million households have made the switch over. Following the publication of DTT regulations by ICASA in February, SABC management has been in the process of reviewing the DTT business plan before resubmitting to the board and the department for approval. So that is one of our major projects here that will also have a major impact on the business model of the SABC going forward. At this point, Chairperson, I'll hand over to my colleague, the Chief Financial Officer, to take you through the financial plan as outlined in the corporate plan.
Thank you, Chairperson. Minister, the first one was the growth outlook for media in 2010 was only 4% this year, but it's underpinned by the upcoming 2010 FIFA World Cup, where we expect significant growth of 12%. As a consequence of that, thereafter in 2011, we expect growth to settle to just below 1% and to come back to 8% from 2012 onwards. And that's based on a rough growth in final consumption expenditure of 3% and an assumed inflation rate of about 5%. We've given the plan assumptions, which show the GDP, which is based on the economic consensus of the major banks and the government for the international treasury. And those are here for your information. If we move then to the core drivers that we think will drive our business, household consumption expenditure, which we know because of the SABC's predominance around those advertisers on our platforms is a key driver for us. We expect to average about 3.4% for the next 3 years, and CPIX to be just outside of the inflation target range of 6%. Prime lending rates to hold at below 11% for the period, and median inflation to rise in 2010 to be based on top of World Cup, as we said, and then to fall back to around 6% thereafter. Chair, if we just look then at the summary income statement for the organisation, we've given actual 2008 and 9 projections for this year. We are going to project a loss from the region of about 400 billion rand for the 2010 fiscal, and that really has arisen because of the television advertising not delivering in the fourth quarter for us as we had planned, and the inclusion of the international expenditure in revenue, which is offset by expenses. We've initiated all the content as funded, but we're only broadcast some of that in the first quarter of 2011, and that's resulted in delaying the recognition of that revenue. Cost management, however, has been very strong focus in the past year, and expenses will be 550 million rand lower than in 2009, and that is one of the control issues that was set to the start of this fiscal. The 2010-11 financial year will require a focus on revenue recovery, cost management, and control of working capital in debtors and stock. Based on that, we put the 2010-11 budget based on the government guarantee for 2011, and there you can see that both at a expenditure level, we will be better than the government guarantee. However, our revenue estimates are lower than the government guarantee. We do think, therefore, we will meet the government guarantee in 2011 by about 54 million rand in terms of what we've committed earlier this year. We've given a detailed breakdown of our revenue base here for the committee to see, and as you can see, still a very strong reliance on our advertising revenue providing for more than 85% of our income base. But government grants continue to rise as a consequence of the estimates of national expenditure. We've also given a breakdown of PBS television and PCS television, and the growth is driven quite strongly with the World Cup soccer sponsorship. The weakness remains in the performance of classical advertising, and that has to be addressed by growing market share of revenue to naturally feed our audience share. This has been a trend for the last 4 years and is a fundamental concern for our big sales and marketing unit. In terms of our platform performance, SABC3 is the key platform to watch, and this leads both audience and revenue growth, and our investments have been prioritized accordingly. Obviously, there's a perception that advertising industry based on service and performance for sales units has actually keep driving the success of this unit. We've given a breakdown of radio revenues. We've had a fairly strong year in PCS radio this year. PBS radio has been impacted by a declining government spend on those platforms in the current year, but we are confident that will improve going forward. If we just look at television licenses, we had a separate presentation a little later in the package, which deals with the issue about cost management specifically, but at this point in time we just wanted to provide full information to the House and also point out that our revenue growth, although it's been 2.6%, 2.9%, and in our budget it's 1.6%, and that really is, even though we've had a rate increase, the pressure on households to make TV license payments continues. But at a cost management point of view, our growth and contribution to PBS funding was 6.8% this year and 4.1% next year, showing continued growth in the cost management of any unit, despite fairly high price increases demanded by some of our business partners. We've also given a breakdown of our operating expenses. We've tried to limit the cuts on programming costs, as that's the key activity for the SABC, but there have been some cuts which have necessitated some of the reductions we've seen in SABC News International over the last 6 months, as well as some of the issues and changes around PBS programming, both on radio and television. We've set the target of 6% growth next year, and we are targeting to, over the next 3 years, to try and be below the rate of inflation on our costs. As you can see, other costs have been cut in ship proper finance management, the SABC. There are still issues, as the GCL has outlined, around human capital. Marketing spend is a concern for us. It's been cut quite hard in the last 2 years, but it needs to be repositioned around the total turnaround strategy for the SABC. So we are currently spending quite well on building the brand around Soccer World Cup, but that will require investment going forward. If we just go to the balance sheet, as you can see, still a fairly strong basis on our assets of 2.4 billion rand and our non-current liabilities about 3 billion rand, so the business is still a strong balance sheet based business, even though it has had some liquidity difficulties in the last year. We've given you the 3-year income statements for your perusal. And then we've also detailed, sort of the last slide, our capital expenditure budget for your deliberation, particularly that this budget does not fund the DTC technology requirements on the internal digitalization of the SABC other than the digital archives project, which is to convert our current tape-based storage mechanisms to a digital archive which enables multi-channel player. That project we could not delay and be ready for DTT. So we're using the large amount of government funding that we received for the technology plan to fund that project. I think it's quite existing confusion, Chair. I think it's fair to say that the financial plan is challenging, particularly given the real operational difficulties the SABC has had in the last 2 years, and it does limit the extent of the services offered by the SABC. While cost reductions remain a key focus of our strategy, the SABC has done a lot of work in this regard. More can and must be done going forward. We'll meet the requirements of returning the SABC to a going concern and meet the government guarantee requirements going forward. However, the funding of new services and distribution technologies from our current funding model is not possible. DTT cannot be done under this model. There is no other TDS in the world that competes in the open market, is required to deliver an extensive mandate and be funded from its own resources from a market-based model, which is what essentially the SABC is. In an increasingly fragmented market with new technologies and increasing competition, the funding mix of the SABC and the funding model is just not sustainable, and I think we need to be quite clear about that, and that is a major thrust that we see in the new PBS bill as well. So I think it is recognized by all the stakeholders, but we wanted to emphasize that here this morning. Thank you, Chair. That concludes this section of my presentation.
Thank you, Chairperson, we wish to present to you very exciting projects that we will be engaged in this year as the SABC and our people in South Africa as a whole. We wish to start by bringing to your attention, Chair, that the SABC is the official, nay, the only official broadcaster of the 2010 FIFA World Cup in South Africa. This is the event that we hope it will afford us with the single biggest opportunity to reinvent ourselves into the best broadcaster that all South Africans can trust and have tremendous confidence in. It is also an event that we at the SABC are seeking to use to mobilize and galvanize all divisions and functions to turn the SABC to be far more effective and efficient. I'm going to try to take you through what we intend to do during the course of the next 80 days or so towards the 11th of June. We will, of course, be conducting our actions within the vision of the SABC to broadcast for total citizen empowerment, using all our platforms, all our 18 radio stations and 3 television channels, as well as alternative media platforms, focused on a single project. In terms of our programming, our news and current affairs, our marketing, and our live commentary. The purpose, Chairperson, the objective will be to deliver a world-class broadcast production, to increase the SABC's viewership using World Cup as a tool, using the best local as well as international and African on-air talent, rebuilding our credibility and integrity as a broadcaster of choice. In the past few days, Chair, we have been refining our scheduling plan to ensure that we literally open roadblocks and road highways within the SABC channel schedule and our radio station schedule. We are also seeking for the first time to deliver an integrated programming mix across all radio and television platforms within the SABC network. We can assure you, and we wish to take this platform, Chairperson, to inform all South Africans that we will deliver all 64 matches live on SABC television and then radio. There will be no delay in December. We will also deliver highlight packages, of course, to keep viewers abreast of all the soccer actions. we will have receipt games so that if you are not able to schedule your time to watch the game live, you can be able to watch it again on at a different time on an SNC platform. Our news, as I mentioned as well, will be integrated with the rest of programming to support our delivery. Our scheduling objective will be to increase our market share on television from 67% to 73% during the World Cup. This is a very aggressive and ambitious target share, but we believe that given our plans, we will be able to deliver. We will do so because we seek to implement a transversal schedule that will be ensuring complementarity across the SABC television network and optimize our audience retention. SABC One will be known as the home of live soccer, and on SABC Two, we will bring you 8 of the overflowing matches live as well. And SABC Three will be the World Cup catch-up service, which will also be targeting the higher LSM group with entertainment lifestyle content that is related to the World Cup. So our schedule will reflect the World Cup buzz. We will have signature properties that will keep our viewers on SABC platforms at all times, and also offer viewers alternative programming to soccer throughout our the event. So you will not be stuck only with football, but you have other entertainment content on other platforms. We obviously are aware, Chairperson, that this is also going, this revision is in a way going to mean that our delivery of our mandate may be affected. In this context, we are seeking to discuss with the regulator, ICASA, to seek an exemption during the event on our mandate delivery. This would not be new, Chair. We have done that. We have done that, for example, during election period. We do that. So it is a discussion with the regulator that we are quite familiar with. In terms of our production plan, as I mentioned earlier, all 64 matches will be live on radio and on television. And we will be also exploiting a technology that the SABC has had for many years but has never used in this magnitude and scope. The technology of simulcasting radio and television to deliver same content on television with multiple audio streams, to ensure that all our people can watch the same picture on television in the official language of their choice, in all official languages. To enhance the quality of our delivery, Chairperson, we will also have a new broadcast center for the World Cup, which we call the SABC World Cup Broadcast Center, which will be located in the Central Convention Center, where we will have a set that will accommodate all our live productions. And that center itself is a center which is accessible to the FIFA headquarters, which will be based in the Nelson Mandela Square, where all VIP dignitaries are likely to be, and former players will be based. And we also know that most personalities and celebrities who will be in our country will be going around that area. It will also provide easy access to telecom interconnectivity. We outline the nature of the set, the Chair, which will be having most of our shows on radio and television. And what is critical then also, Chair, is that we will be seeking quite experienced talent from across the African continent. That is the experience that South Africans would have captured. In terms of marketing chair, the call to action for all South Africans is to invite them to embrace the emotion of Philip, it is here. We have arrived, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Head of procurement who suspended as a speak,
And in the end of our report, we received the information that he was not well to proceed with the hearing. But we've still had lately, as late as yesterday, that the person is ready now to face disciplinary, and the relevant department will proceed with immediate effect to process and finalize that disciplinary. We know that there has been actions that were taken by the interim board, but we later in this report we had more meat into that. The board is also going to appoint the SABCB Adjudication Committee as per the shareholder compact. And there will be relevant training that will be given to members of the BID Adjudication Committee. And it will be a continuous process. On the issue that relates to the appointment of consultants, the interim board system evaluation, and the current chief financial officer was tasked, and there was an outcome which basically gave a formal written warning which will last for the period of 9 months to the chief financial officer. Once again, it was clear that you need to develop a clear and a very strong policy that relates to the appointment of consultants and the relevant committee, the internal audit subcommittee, is given the responsibility to deal with that task of developing a policy. On a number of issues, as I said, there is a very sophisticated web of what is happening in the CPC, which is a lesson for some of us who come from the private sector. We have to look at case by case, and in some cases we might find, as more information comes out, that we might need to consider civil or criminal options to deal with the matters, especially where there are issues or there are monies that belong to a CBC that must be recovered. I must say that although we don't have concrete evidence of that, it does look like many of these companies or conducted firms, the moment you come nearer to finding out about them, then you hear about liquidations that are going to happen. So we are following all those things, and you can rest assured that even when companies are liquidated, but they are not owned by ghosts, they are owned by people, so we'll have to follow those people that would have been owning those companies. On the fruitless and wasteful expenditure, we are also doing a lot of work, and we are working very well with the company secretariat to make sure that all decisions that we take and the content that is acquired, because there's been a lot that has been happening in that department, we still need to check, really do an audit of how much content do we have, and everything. And during the, we hear a lot of stories about what was happening during the 80s time in SABC, where there were pictures that were taken in the archive section so that some archives could be replaced. And so there were many things that were happening, and we're working on that. This is our action was taken, as you all know, against the GE Content Enterprises was since left the SABC. And SABC is considering different options. I'm sure you noticed in the papers recently there was some celebration from his lawyers saying that they've won round two. So we'll have to wait and see who's going to win round three. So continuing with the fruitless and wasteful expenditure, we think that some of the things that are happening are beyond the capabilities that we have, as ordinary South African. So as a result, we have approached law enforcement agencies that have the capabilities to deal with some of the sophisticated issues. The issue of petrol cars was very popular in the media during the time that we were busy with SABC, and the management has investigated the number of cars issued to qualifying, to only qualifying members of top and senior management. So it's not every Tom, Dick and Harry who has a petrol card now. And the policy and practice has been reviewed, and we are waiting for a proposal as a board in terms of how we're going to carry on going forward in terms of the petrol card. It was also discovered that the policy was just too open, so it was going to be very hard to proceed with disciplinary action. So it was more of an organization fault than a fault of individuals in terms of the petrol card. In terms of sports travel, we know that there was an issue about the travel company that was somehow connected to SABC, which the relationship has been withdrawn now. There is no longer a relationship with the travel company. All SABC travel is done by Airway Travel now. But what we've since discovered in the turnaround subcommittee is that the actual company does still operate. And we've requested management to see to it that it doesn't operate, and if it continues to operate, it does not use SABC logo or anything that relates to SABC. And the chief financial officer is looking into that matter. And we also want to recoup any money that they might have received due to those things that happened during the Beijing Olympics and the Paralympics, where a lot of people traveled using the same company. And if there is anything untoward that we pick up that relates to employees or even former employees, we will not hesitate to refer the matter to relevant authorities. In terms of outstanding amounts due to SABC, the legal department did ask a company to investigate, and there was a report that was submitted. There are not many, as it was reported in the media and elsewhere, it's not the way it was reported, but there are a few companies that do own SABC some money, and according to the report that we have in our hands, which we still need to act on, that some of those companies are quite willing to engage with SABC in good faith in terms of saying we understand that we might have been overpaid, and we are prepared to settle with SABC in the interest of the relationship going forward. All sponsorships, which includes the provision of free airtime to markets and provide coverage of events, are covered by the sales policy and the BAF, and none of them will be dealt with according to the disciplinary action. And the approval, there's been a lot that has been happening in terms of approval, and then policies will be tightened to ensure that people do not get a chance of getting around the levels of approval. There was an issue about the security of the house of the former CEO and the security of the former SABC board. As we already indicated, that staff will come and do the audit, they've indicated an interest, and we want them to also, in particular, investigate the taxable benefits received by the former CEO and the former chairperson of the SABC board. And then on the basis of that report, that should come to us by the end of the session, we will be able to collect the data report and take appropriate action. And obviously, management is committed to cooperate with the people from PAS when they come to do the audit. We also need to determine whether the correct approvals were there when the chairperson of the board received security at the cost of the SABC. Okay, as you know, that the former CEO resigned from the SABC in the 1st of February 2009, and there was a segment in the return of change that was signed between the internal board chair and the former CEO on the 14th of August 2009. We saying that the settlement agreement between SAPP and the former CEO was an agreed and accepted by the SAPP in accordance with the settlement. But as I've already stated before, there are many people that are coming to SAPP to see what was happening around that time. So we do not want to start a witch hunt. But at the same time, if there are anything that are picked up going as back as when there were previous people, we'll have to deal with the information when it comes to us. We cannot now say this is what is going to happen to Peter, for example, or who. We don't know. We don't have yet concrete information in our hands about what is happening. The next thing that we're presenting is just the historic cases that are taking place. Content enterprises have already spoke to it. I must say that some questions have been asked in the media that how much is SABC spending on this litigation. And in this case, I must say that it was the decision of the board that SABC must defend itself on the court application that was done by the gentleman, on the basis that part of his application was that the SABC must not use the information that they have, which they were going to use in the business again, anywhere. And we felt that as a SABC, we have to protect the fact that we reserve the right to use this information anywhere else if we deem it fit to do so. So this is why we defended the court application that was done by the same gentleman. I've already reported to the chief financial officer. The head of audit and services the story was concluded and the sanction was attended. We must say that the board, as you noticed when the DCO made his presentation, he spoke about reviewing the disciplinary code. I mean, I come from a trade union, but I've not seen a disciplinary code that really needs reviewing at that one. I think it does need reviewing. So the final written warning for 6 months was given. The head of procurement has just said that it's only now that we're receiving information that the gentleman is well, and apparently he feels that he's got nothing to hide anymore. Once the president is start for a year, and the management will act into court. The other gentleman, the next gentleman, is suspended and who likes the media a lot. We are convinced as a board that we did everything correctly, despite what he's saying to the media. And the charges are being prepared and we will present it to him. And we have committed ourselves to ensure that, unlike what was picked up by the AG, where disciplinary cases do not get completed and they take even more than 12 months, we really want to ensure that when we start a disciplinary, within a reasonable time, it is completed and we concentrate on other matters. That's the end of the report.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Chairperson. We will then go to
We will ask to provide additional information on the composition of the trust and collecting licenses. So if we can just go to the first slide, which breaks down who gets what of a television license. As you can see, 11% goes to VAT. 17% is spent actually with the business partners who collect the TV license, whether that's a retailer or whether that's a debt collector, that's aggregating 17%, and we'll give you a breakdown of that in a few minutes. And then our other operating costs of the call center, the SABC, and all those associated costs take up another 8%, and then we transfer 64% of the TV license through to SABC 1, SABC 2, and all of the public broadcasting service radio channels. Nothing goes to SABC 3 or the commercial services of the SABC as is required by the Act. The next one. If we look then at the direct collection costs and how they are made up, you know, there's some money that you spend on data capturing and cleaning, and that's just because the database as information is received either from the banks or the retailers or some of the records that we buy in from other service providers to find the households that aren't paying TV licenses or companies that aren't paying TV licenses. We spend some money in making sure that the data can be used and the licenses are properly allocated so that when people do pay their TV licenses, we can actually send it to them. And then we've got the biggest chunk of this cost, 67%, is paid to debt collection agencies on submission. Now that cost is not something that SEC can avoid, because the CFMA requires us to collect all debts due to the corporation. So if you pay the TV license last year and you don't renew it this year, we are compelled to collect it from you by that in terms of CFMA. The difficulty with that is we can't get it as a percentage of the 252 rand, because no one will collect the debt for 252 rand. So we normally wait a few years for that debt to get a bit more than that, and then it becomes efficient to collect that debt. So it comes in at about 350 rand per debt collection event between all the debts that are sent up to the process that occur. And consequently, that's quite an expensive way to collect that money. But, you know, if 1,000 rand is owed and you pay 300 rand to collect it, then you've still got 700 rand. So the SABC does get an incremental benefit from it, but clearly we would prefer not to have to send debt collectors to collect that money. We'd much rather have a service that citizens value and pay for without that kind of coercion. But our difficulty does lie that those people charge us a flat fee, and as a percentage of the license collected, that can be quite expensive. And as a percentage of our total collection costs, you can see that 57%. It's not 57% of our revenue, it's 57% of those collection costs. We then spend some money on a collection agent's commission. That's the people that run the electronic collection services for us. They run all the banking networks. Obviously, that's quite an intensive and very expensive network. And they pick up 14% of that. And then we also spend 13% on postage, where we actually post TV licenses and all those letters back up to people. So that share is the breakdown of the actual collection costs, if you can just have the final slide. Which is the operating expenses, which are the internal costs, as you see there. You can see that there's lots of little bits and pieces, energy cost, systems, maintenance, but then we get into the three big sections of it, which is essentially the systems maintenance, which is running the database, as you see. That database is run for about 3.9 million households, so just under 9 million households. And that requires quite a lot of computer time, mainframe upgrade, analysts to run that for us, people to look after it. Then we spend 14% on our marketing costs, so all those campaigns that convince you it's the right thing to do. Of our total operating expenses, that it is. And then, of course, the biggest part of the unit, 61% of those costs, are spent on the people that actually work in our call centers. You know, but that call center runs from very early in the morning to very late at night. So there are a number of shifts that work in there, and those people also work on social hours. It's a very stressful job, and they do excellent work for us. every day, and they also work weekends, including Sundays. Saturdays and public holidays, and sometimes being closed, it's really over Christmas and some of the other public holidays. So, Chair, that's the breakdown of the analysis of the operating expenses. It's very much a people business to collect TV licenses. You have to speak to every citizen on the basis, and that's where that collection cost comes from. So, the next one. We've been asked a number of times, you know, is this a profitable business to be in, or what profitability is the thing to really talk about here? Yeah, but we collect the dark blue line in hard cash, and the light blue bar is how much cash we actually get from TV licenses itself. And you can see, as we fixed the Broadcast Act some years ago with the help of the House, we really improved the revenue collection, and that's come from cleaning up the databases and all those people who work in the call center phoning and nagging people, and also taking the stick out from time to time and following the PSMA to collect the cash, which is sort of that green bar on the operating costs. The yellow bar, as you can see, remains quite well contained. And as we showed earlier, the operational leverage we get out of it, which is can you grow your profitability faster than your revenue, has been quite consistent from this unit for some years now. So that's the information we requested, Chair, and we hope it deals with the issue. Just a very simple fact is that in 1999, it was, I suppose, 78%, if you take the cash collected to the number of households, we were at about 78%. Today we're at 85%. So, yes, we've had to pour resources, but the resources have become a lot more efficient in that process as well. So thank you very much, Chair. That's the feedback on the TV license. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I've been very generous with time, but I think this has been an extremely useful presentation. Certainly in the last two or three years, I've been here, I think it's much better structured, more focused business plan, more understanding than I think also. I think so. I want to thank the team for I think a lot of hard work and coming to me. I know that there are going to be lots of questions. I've got a whole list myself, but I'm going to allow the members to take a position at me. So I'm just thinking, should we not take questions on the strategy first? And then we'll take questions on the finances. Otherwise, we're going to be all over the place, and it's quite a bulky document to be 7 pages. So can we start off with questions around the strategy, the business plan, and you know, the first thing? Nikki?
Chairperson, thank you. But before I ask a question, can we sort of negotiate a rule today that we don't make long speeches, we just ask questions because it costs?
You're right, okay, for the question.
No, it's just a ruling that it costs a lot of money for all the people to be here. And I know all of us have got a lot of political things to say, but they are here. And I think let them speak, not us. Keep the question short. And Chris, if you can make a really mic to that.
Agreed.
Chair, you agree, the honorable man is not afraid to say, well presented, I was not.
Always the niggling and so on from the side. I never Mr. Kulwani.
Those speeches, how did you?
I was on the to say, well presented, well prepared, and I think since last year we can see a lot of improvement. Just quickly about the strategy. You know, sometimes it can happen that you sort of divide yourself from the core business of the SABC. The SABC has to inform and entertain. It's all about radio, television. People are listening to the radio stations and watching television. I see that's the core business of the SABC. Are you satisfied now, sir, that, for instance, if I can mention one thing, is the administration not too big? You understand what I mean? So too much money is going into the administration or whatever, and not into the core function of the agency. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you.
Well, thank you very much for that question, because I'm sure it touches very fundamental issues about a public broadcast. Certainly, we're informing through our news and current affairs. We're supporting democracy through exposing people to how government works, an understanding of the party system, the statutory institutions, and so on. You know, we're doing that, but we're doing that within a wrong framework. You cannot expect, as the CFO said, a public broadcaster to rely almost entirely on market forces when a lot of the stuff that we do is in the area of market failure, where market is not allocating resources. So we want to align the SABC with the developmental state that's been adopted by the government. To do that, we will do things that the market will not allocate resources to. So we will continue to inform, but want to inform better. We will continue to entertain, but want to develop local content, which tells South African stories, gives South African ideas and experiences, and is owned by South Africa. And of course, in terms of development support, we need to assist ABET, we need to assist rural development, we need to assist SME development. That the market will not fund. So, quite correctly, we must focus on the core, but there are new challenges that we need to fulfill as a public sector.
Okay.
Can I just add just a little bit from our perspective as management? We are certainly unhappy about the administrative cost of the SABC. We do believe that on a very, very peripheral assessment since we arrived in the beginning of the year, that the structure has become bloated, and the cost, as we are saying, we've been saying that repeatedly, the cost of the wage bill has become huge, far more, and in terms of ratio to the delivery of the core mandate of the SABC, which is programming, it is far too high. And also you find that there's also a problem in terms of the ratio between management and ordinary staff. There's too many chiefs, too many managers in some areas, and not very few people, and very few people who are doing the actual work on the ground. So we have said in this corporate plan that one of the focus of our attention is going to be to look at the structure of the organization, because we do feel that it is administratively very, very big. Thank you.
I find it interesting what Ms. Mokesle is saying. So the SABC is basically suffering from the same problem too many chiefs, like that some political parties are, including the ruling party, are struggling with. can I just come in on that specific point? I wanted to ask with regard to the restructuring of the SABC. It is very good news to know that the SABC is realizing that this salary bowl has just really gone out of hand, and that what worries me more is that there was no real proper performance management, no real job profile, and all of this is often why things are moving through the cracks. Now, what I would like to know is, it is very difficult for any organization to conduct an internal restructuring with current incumbents trying to protect their own turf. Are you going to get consultants, management consultants from outside to evaluate the SABC's mandate, its obligations in terms of government mandate to the SABC as a public broadcaster, and then to say, in order to fulfill all of these, this is the structure that you need. Because part of it is a commercial, part of it is public, part of it, you know, is in engaging with service providers, producers, etc. Are you going to get any management consultants to do that? And clearly, it's often a painful job, a painful operation. because it means that people will have to reapply for certain positions. So how do you intend to restructure this? And it's a very important component, I agree with you. And can I just add my word of compliment to the presentation that was made this morning? When the Honourable Chairperson started and I made some comments, I thought, that is so vague. I hope the whole document is not so very delightfully vague, but we have content and we really appreciate that. In fact, we probably suffer from information overdose, Chairperson. Can I just then go to the second point? If you look at what you're saying, your key performance indicators and your mandate is for this coming year, and that is to comply with the ICASA license conditions, and that is obviously going to last. What are your current shortcomings? Because you have, in the medium-term framework, you've indicated that you wanted to achieve other sorts of goals on your mandate. What is currently pressing? Are you behind time in your agreement with government? What are the current shortcomings? Secondly, I've dealt with the management question. The issue of that's before we combine with that one. Chairperson, then I would like to just come to the issue of the important role of the new board to restore public confidence, the integrity of the organisation. Now, you made reference of the prominence of the 7 o'clock bulletin. This corporation is in competition with some of the other broadcasters. To what extent did we lose territory? Was it on the news? Obviously, is one aspect, but also the entertainment component. Why is it that the revenue went down? My concern is, if we look at advertising spend in the media sector, it hurts the print media more than television. And I'm talking of television broadly, of electronic media basically. Why was it that SABC? Was it the wrong content? I note in some of your detailed in the document that you prefer to engaging with the advertisers more on program content, so that you know that when you purchase programs that you actually will also get the necessary revenue from the right advertisement. What was wrong with content that we had a real dip in revenue? Because it was not only the global economic trend. I accept that was an important factor, but it could not have been only that. Could I just hear from the board, now that we've really done sort of a proper sort of introspection, what is your feeling? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. On the first question, whether we're going to get any management consultants from outside, we did indicate the last time when we were here a few weeks ago that I had already been given the authorization by the board to appoint a turnaround trading unit in my office as the CEO, as well as the board has established a turnaround committee, a turnaround subcommittee, which is headed by. The turnaround training unit itself, I have set through the industry to look for people who can assist me. I should say that also on the caution of the board, I was cautious that we don't go back into a consultancy mode again. The SABC is coming out of huge costs paying out consultants. All of what they have delivered are reports that have not been implemented. So we are very cautious about having to go to the consultancy, full-blown consultancy. Yes, I think in some specialized areas it will be inevitable that we call people with specialized skills. However, as I indicated in our previous report, the bulk of the people will be SABC staff themselves. I did indicate when we were here last that we believe the SABC has been consulted to death. And in most cases, consultants come with wonderful templates, but the information really comes from the people within the SABC. So we have managed to acquire the services of some experts who came from the SABC and left, and now were consultants, but are ready to come in as full-time employees. One of them is Mr. Zoliban Mutembu here, who is the head of the turnaround planning unit. He's a staffer now of the SABC, and he's selecting people from within the SABC and those that we can find from outside who have got specialized skills. We do not believe we'll go out into a full-time consultancy acquisition. We might, we don't know, but at this point we don't find the need to do so. What shortcomings, or how do we intend to do restructuring? Well, I'm glad you asked this question, because this is an issue that we hope that Parliament will also appreciate together, that it is not an easy one. As Mr. Dina indicated earlier, it puts us in a very difficult condition where we, in an environment where the mood in the country and the economic focus of government is that of job creation, but we may have to look at the wage bill within the SABC, which may affect jobs. However, in attending to the wage bill and restructuring as well, the issue of layoffs is not an immediate solution. It is one that will approach very sensitively. However, we don't regard that the same as, for example, the end of a contract that was expired. As you have heard recently, that with SABC News International, at the end of this month, there will be contracts that are expiring. Now, contracts are always committed into to start and end. They have an end and a beginning and an end. So this is part of the technique we will use to be sensitive to commitments that we have with employees. Those who are full-time employees will be absorbed within the structure of the SABC. And so we will at all times seek to be sensitive to these issues. Ultimately, however, addressing the wage bill may lead to us having to make difficult choices. And however, we will always be doing that with the consultation of the staff as well as organized labor within the SABC. What current shortcomings on the mandate? I think I'll leave that to some of my colleagues here who are more experts to that. The SCCOO is working very closely with the units that are sending the mandate, so I will address that issue. And the 7 o'clock bulletin, we believe that it has lost significant market share, and perhaps we'll get the exact number right now. Given again, compared, let me say, to the targets that were set for it, as well as the investments that were putting into that policy, it being the premier news policy of the SABC. The news gathering process in the SABC is inevitably driven by English, the English language. So we would have expected that the bulletin that actually is scheduled at an appropriate time and also in the English language would actually have been the one that thinks that has more audience. But in fact, what is actually surprising us is that perhaps there is a certain shift in viewership by South Africans as a whole, that they actually prefer to watch the news a little bit later, because we cannot understand how the 7:30 bulletin has now become the biggest. But in fact, what may be happening is that viewers view the earlier bulletin on the other platforms and then come to their trusted broadcaster at 7:30 to also give them the other version of the news. Because they know that more or less the 7:30 would have been more or less a repeat of the 7:30. But obviously also there are impacts of scheduling. On the SABC one is the biggest platform in the country. At 8 o'clock, that bulletin leads into the biggest show in the country, the generation. Also, there is a language factor that we, I think, should not ignore. That the 7:30 bulletin is broadcasted to the biggest language group in the country, the Ngunian language group, which is the Isikosa, Isizulu, Isiswati, Isindebele, all of them, including anyone else. But largely, those language groups, I think the demographics are much higher than any other in the country. So there are a lot of factors where they're related. Not simply that the 7 o'clock bulletin is moving, because it's the same at 7:30, i.e. material. In terms of the entertainment, well, as a whole, I think the loss of revenue for the SABC, yes, I think it is not necessarily only to the recession. I think, yes, this has a major impact on the SABC. But also, we have also carried out our own analysis of what went wrong. What we established is that there has been significant, very severe scheduling instability and scheduling insecurity. And as we know, that is the worst thing that advertisers do not want. Because then they are not sure whether they are going to get that viewer at all or not at this particular time. And particularly if scheduling is shifted at the last minute. I've been having discussions, very intensive discussions now with the team, both from the sales and the channel, to make sure that we establish this stability. And we've made sure that, trying to make sure that, particularly as we go to the World Cup, when it will be highly competitive and challenging. Yesterday, for example, on my way down here to Parliament, I had to stop over in Devon in a huge session with the advertisers. And we were launching to them our 2010 package. And that's part of the things that they mentioned to me, that make sure that your scheduling is stable and will bring back our investment onto your platform. And I think this is one of the biggest problems. The consequence of that is also reflected financially. The CFO reported there have been a huge number of credit notes. And all credit notes are a result of trying to make up for the scheduling instability. But we don't realize the other impact, which is that advertisers, because of that instability, simply pull away the money. Not necessarily that the content is bad per se. But of course, the content also, you imagine, it was affected by the deferment, where there were many, many repeats due to the financial difficulties. So there were all of those issues that we are establishing and we're beginning to see.
Thank you, everyone.
Sorry, sir, can I add that one thing on the the other thing is, I don't know whether we should respond to all the questions without risking the fact that SABC is competing with other people who might be here and listening what is SABC going to do. But be that as it may be, there's been a lot of consultants we've discovered that have done work in SABC. So, as Soli has put it, we would not just go out and look for new consultants without having looked at the current records that are there, because there was Gemini, there was Deloitte, there were other people that have done work already, which we must still study and see what were their recommendations, were they implemented, before we can even think of getting new consultants to come in. Thank you.
Mr. Kuyuani, and
no, yes, I think it's a good point. They were not competitors. But look, Chair, you see the SABC is a public entity. It just happens to have many chiefs. But I don't think that you can compare the SAPC to the African National Congress. When it's called outside, you must stand for the cold. Until you come back home, then you feel the war in the ANC.
The debate was closed yesterday.
So, hope must start to understand that. That is cold out there. Unless you come in, you will never feel the war, which you are feeling in the ANC. I got just a few questions because the presentation was here. You can see that in fact we're tempted to go to the next presentation. Because we'll end up rhetoric, not doing rhetoric, not asking questions. But there are some few questions I just want to ask. One say is that the SADC has been sort of being paid out by government through the loan. The GEC always talk about that. I just want to check that because you see the problem with the presentation on the finances is that what the CEO has requested to do in his presentation was done in the finances, so it was just moving quick. Now, I could not detect, maybe they can help whether are we hearing ourselves for another knock on the door by the SAPC for more public funds from the fiscal. Our moving forward being stable financial is your strategy going to sustain moving forward so that you go out the current financial challenges without coming back to us or asking for public funds? That's one question. The second one is around the issue of the compliance with ICASA policies or regulations. Can someone explain to me this mass carry rule? How does it benefit SABC? This mass carry rule or regulation, how does it benefit the SABC and the public at large? And what impact does it have to the SABC or to the public? Because I just don't understand exactly what is happening there. What are we benefiting as SABC? But I remember at one point was the issue of collection of the fees, you know, and so on and so on. But what is exactly happening there? That is one can be made to understand. I'm raising that because my experience is that you know, I was talking to one of my colleagues at one point, and then she was saying to me, you know, I've got an old TV set, which is giving me problems. Then I asked, but what problem? Then she said, you know, when you are watching SABC channel in the pay TV or the other, you know, DS and so on, especially some of us who love football, the picture is not clear. But when you go to the other channel on the same platform, the picture is clear. What exactly is happening there? Is the quality poor quality for SABC? What exactly is happening? Because we watch the same platform, but when you go to SABC channel 131, if there's soccer, you look at the quality of the picture and the cars and even the tickets for those clubs. They are not as clear as someone else. But it's the same plan. What exactly is happening there? That's why I'm asking if someone can clarify, because people have spent TV sets because they thought that they are old and engaged in buying other TV sets and so on. What is the problem there? Or is anything which can be done before we change TV sets every month? Especially the World Cup is coming, you know, people might have to change every day. because the Brazil game was not clear. They think that the Portugal one will be clear than the other two. I think that that's the first question. The other one which I wanted to engage at is that you see the issue of we got the legislation, the Broadcasting Act, which seeks to separate the commercial part and the public service part within the SABC. And I'm sure at one point, I'm not sure that when you make your presentation with the previous board, they were talking about that the act itself is also a problem because it imposes a threat to SABC. I see the current public broadcasting service deal which is coming thick to give me that. But I just want to check to say how much impact that it has to the SABC. Because what we are talking about trying to restructure SABC, are you going to be able to do that with the act in place? Because you see, it's one issue that you present that you do that, but because the legislation is seems to be a problem or a challenge, probably to play. Which anyway represented ourselves here, trying to protect the public health, because I'm sure by the time we know that we don't want people to cross up the line to tell the public fund they need it to the commercial and the other thing. But how is that going to affect from them? My calculation is that that currency which is proposed might take 24 months of years to them. Are you going to survive until then as an SAG in the current currency? Trying to change the structure within the SABC. That was my other question. But I must say, overall, when we're dealing with the DOC budget, I'm not sure whether the 15 million requesting for local government election was taken care of. Maybe something we need to check as a community, because if you are still going to request not been already been there in terms of your budget. I'm just saying that those didn't go back and check that to check whether it's been carried through or something to be deferred or something to be deleted at a later point when you appropriate the budget around October of the month. So we'll have our time for now. Let us allow the APC to deal with their matters. We'll come to hope because you are limping. So if we are limping, we don't want to finish you here. We'll finish you in the chamber as we started the onslaught on the temple.
Thank you very much. Can we hold the response to the final question?
Chair, I'll also request some of my colleagues to assist me with the many questions that Mr. Ronnie has asked that are very, very, I think, profound to the ability of the SABC to deliver its public service mandate. I will attempt a few and inshallah. Chief of Strategy, Tim, can help us. The first one is the compliance with the mass carry rule and how it benefits the SABC. I recall that there is a colleague of mine during the 1999 drafting of the Broadcasting Act, who was then the head of policy in the Department of Communication, Mr. John Draha, was sitting here in the gallery. We discussed this very, very intensely. And I think the outcome of that debate at the time, which was reflected in the act, was that we would have a must carry, must pay, i.e. that if the pay platform operator will be expected to carry, or if the public service broadcaster will have to give its service to the pay platform operator, then they must pay for a commercial rate. because ultimately the content that the public service broadcaster is carrying, it cannot give away for free to private operators. This content is developed and produced using public funds. So that was what, how I recall, the rule of the must carry, must pay. Because it acknowledged that this was content that the taxpayer had already paid for. So if it was going to be placed on any private enterprise subscription platform, then they must pay for it. And I think that is just logical. However, that has since been revised by, I think, the regulator. When this rule came out, it is now saying that the must carry rule, the public broadcaster itself must pay to be carried on the platform of the private operator, particularly for the linking costs. But they should get it for free, mahal. Now, this is really, I mean, I've been long in this broadcasting industry and I've looked at other broadcasters around the world. This really is not very fair to the public broadcaster. Because it really suggests that we are subsidizing private operators using public funds. Because the channels of the SNC are public funds. And we are putting them on a public, on a commercial platform for free, means that you are taking public funds and subsidizing the private funds. This is an issue we intend to take up with the department and the regulator, because it has a significant impact in the ability of the SMEs to recover from the current financial crisis that we see. The issue of picture quality also is related to the must carry rule, in that whereas the regulations require us to place the channel onto a private platform, a subscription platform, however, that platform is not required to maintain certain standards of broadcasting in terms of what is called the bit rate allocation per channel. The bit rate allocation per channel for SABC channels, particularly SABC 1, particularly when we are carrying a football game that is also concurrent to the game playing on one of them, or the main subscription platform. We have established technically that the bit rate is not of a higher quality standard. However, we have got no recourse right now, because the must carry rule does not carry any standard obligation by the operator that if you are going to carry and must carry a public service broadcast, it must then be allocated a specific bit rate to ensure that its quality remains the same as any other channel that is on the platform. Again, that is an issue that we hope that we will be able to take up with the regulator, will take up with the department to ensure that this is we are very, very concerned in particular as we are going to the World Cup. As you will have seen, the preparation that we are putting to ensure that we can deliver a high quality product on the SABC platform during the World Cup. That in fact, ultimately, you will end up seeing a poor quality, as you have already said, and you have said yourself, in spite of whatever magnificent stuff we will have. So we are hoping that this matter, we can get your support and that of the department to address very quickly and that of the regulator. Because it is running a significant. There is no way that you can have a poor quality on digital platform than when you are watching it on an analog platform. Because our signal quality is very high when you watch an SABC channel without going through a subscription button. So this is particular in South Africa where analog becomes more superior than a digital output. So we hope that will be corrected. The PDF and PTF separation. Well, again, Chair, that is an issue I think we mentioned in our presentation earlier, that whereas we are seeking to ensure that we address the wage bill and address the structure of the SAP. However, we are cognizant of the reality that that process will be limited by certain legislative requirements. The SABC Act, or the SABC Broadcasting Act, is very notorious, I would say, from our perspective, in one respect, in that it's probably the only act that entrenches a structure, an organizational structure in the act. Normally, as you know, structure follows strategy, and strategy changes from time to time, and therefore it has impact on the strategy. With the SABC, it is the other way around. Structure is entrenched in the act, which we have to respect, therefore our strategies have to be aligned to a strategy. So if the structure is, because of strategic requirements and imperatives, becoming archaic, there's nothing much you can do about it unless you change the act. So we are quite cognizant of this reality, and we are seeking to raise these issues with the department as well as yourself here. And of course, we in this context, therefore, that's why we are looking forward. We were looking forward really to the new PBS bill, because we had already been aware that it was addressing some of the structural difficulties. The issue of PBS and CPS is also a structural creation, or rather a legislative one, that by legislation you must separate your divisions into PBS and CPS. I do not seek to preempt the discussion and debate which we will be engaging with the department formally and through written material. But I think, just to respond to the question of the member here, it is that it is also creating serious problems for us, because we believe that those are artificial separations that could, the same objective could be realized through other systems. I think I'll leave now to my colleagues, CFO, to talk about the 15 million of local government.
Chair, we have an indicated request for funds for local government elections, but for a number of years consistently is up in our ATS documents and last week to the DG.
The challenge the SABC was experiencing with the delivery of the mandate, I just want to assure honourable members that the SABC is delivering. I think from time to time when we come here, we actually indicated that we're over delivering in terms of implementing the mandate as per the Act and ICASA regulations. The challenge we have, though, is the cost of delivering that mandate, as the CFO indicated. Delivering that mandate, relying on advertising revenue, becomes a serious challenge, especially when you look at how much it costs us to produce local content. Thank you.
Thank you very much, and then Lily.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for this presentation. One of the answers, it was answered the repeat program. And I would like to know, why are the old programs being repeated on SABC? Because that will not encourage people to watch the channels anymore. Why are you repeating old programs, and then, and how long are you going to repeat this, and how are you going to phase this out to make sure that new content is coming in? And the accessibility. I'm happy the Minister of Communication has written an article in the Cape Times recently where community television stations are encouraged interpreted on those channels. What are your role to make sure that those community television stations do have sign language interpreters on it? And this, the World Cup is here, and I know that this will be broadcast internationally. And also, we want to make sure that the deaf viewers are also have access to these matches and to the television program during the Soccer World Cup, and to make sure that they have access to the news and events surrounding these World Cups. And we need to make sure that Africa, South Africa, and the international communities, deaf communities, do have access. And then our local content, some of them are captioned. My child is hearing, and when you are told by a teacher, go and learn some more Afrikaans, he goes and do watch Seelandelaan, and he follows Seelandelaan because the captioning is there in English in order for him to verify if he do understand. And I'm sure that everyone can take advantage of this, of the subtitles that are on television. So can you encourage production houses to make sure that these local content are being accessible by means of subtitles, and to make sure that whenever the actors are speaking English, there are no captioning issues. So it doesn't matter in what language the people are speaking and are using, that these subtitles are accessible in all the languages, and so to make sure that these languages are addressed. And I'm sure that this will help the literacy levels in South Africa as well. By chance, I heard the HIV AIDS prevention advert. I haven't seen that advert where a deaf person is signing, because that advert is shown 11 o'clock in the evening. That is a very, very important advert. Why is it shown after 11 o'clock? Why is it not shown in the peak time when deaf people have access to information on HIV and AIDS? That advert is shown at 11 o'clock when nobody is watching. My last question, in case I miss out later, TV licenses. Your document that I have here states that it will increase by 11%, the licensing fees. And last year, in August 2009, but I haven't seen the total amount, was it increased to 250? What is the total amount? I just need to know were there any increases on the television license fees.
Chair, I will ask the Chief Operating Acting Chief Operating Officer to begin our response and continue.
Thank you, Chair. Let me start with the authority of programs. I think this is a concern. I must say it is true that we pick this up even in terms of the performance of the different channels. That is what repeats are doing to the platform. The challenge the SABC had, if you remember well, for the past 18 months, had to do with the cash flow, with money that we required to pay for those programs. We have tried to make sure that we have a clear strategy, a repeat strategy, so that we don't go to an extent of driving our audiences away from watching different platforms. I think honorable members are aware that despite having repeats on some of the platforms, we've also had very exciting new content that had never been broadcast in South Africa that we're proud of. One of those programs is SA Got Talent, for instance. It helps us to actually attract a lot of audiences back who could have been driven away by by you know, the fact that we're the teaching program. The group CEO is actively engaging us on that matter, and as you saw with the new targets that are in the business plan, there is no way in which we can achieve those targets in terms of audience share and revenue share unless there is investment in new programming. So we're going to be having 2010, and I've no doubt that after 2010 there will be a lot of exciting things for people to look forward to in terms of programming. Start timing, I think year before last we came to this committee to talk about what we were doing in terms of subtitling and the investment that was going into that. If there is a need for us to consider how that should be done across all the programs that we're broadcasting on television, I think it's a matter that is very close to the heart of the board, and we've already had to indicate to them on what we're doing, what our plans were. In terms of that, we have no doubt that that is going to increase. The HIV AIDS advert broadcast at 11 o'clock at night must be what we call public service kind of advertising that we negotiate with different government departments. Unfortunately, in most cases, it depends on when there is available time when you look at the airtime inventory. And the fact that it's broadcast at that time, it could be that during the day, it's a question of driving revenue. Back to what we said earlier on, that to the SFC, the challenge is to deliver the public service mandate as well as to balance that with your commercial imperative. Now, in terms of balancing that with a commercial imperative, obviously, you know, advertising revenue is so important that, you know, the whole time will be sold out until that time when we broadcast that advert. I will get in touch with our commercial sales people, commercial enterprises, to find out what can be done so that the bulk of or most of our audiences should have access or should have an opportunity of seeing that advert, that if it should be broadcast at a suitable time. In terms of the role of community television, can I ask the group CEO to take this one over in terms of how we'll be dealing with them for 2010?
Thank you. Yes, indeed, I established that part of the plan of our team for 2010 was actually to engage with communities. And this is something that we actually welcome because it enables us to expand the reach of the SABC signal. And truly for the SABC as a national broadcaster to deliver to new audiences and to communities who otherwise would not have been able to watch the SABC. So we are collaborating with them, in fact, to provide them the signal of the SABC. As a matter of fact, the SABC during the World Cup will not only be giving you the front seat row view from your living room, but also from the fan fest as well as the TV, the public viewing area, where we will be sending in the signals, where we'll be having big screens around, particularly the host city, where we expect thousands of people to gather with their close relatives to watch the SABC delivering the live event. The signage has also been an issue, which we have considered very seriously during this period. It is difficult for us to be able to have signage during a live game. However, during some of the highlight packages that we have prepared, particularly on SABC3, that is the channel that actually has other sign language content, we will be having reviews and highlights of the food of the World Cup in sign language. But yes, it is a challenge to be able to do that on a live game on the 64 games. Subtitling, as the CEO said, is obviously a task or a technology that the SABC is continuously trying to use. more and more in many of the countries. And
the last increase was granted in, I think, October last year in respect to TV licenses, and that increased the TV licenses to 250 rand.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you very much to the board for the presentation. I'm actually partly covered by Honourable Colline. I didn't actually hear what the CFO said very clearly when he was talking about the 15 million rand for the local government election. That's actually my only question. Have you had to make this kind of request in the past for previous national elections, both general and local government? And I mean, because I recognise that the SADC must obviously receive regular transfers from the government, but it's quite another thing when we are talking about a local government election. So yeah, I just wanted to find out if this has been done before, and if it was sort of in the same region in the same amount. And if not, does the SABC anticipate any kind of potential conflict if it's the first time that the broadcaster will be accepting a transfer for an election? Thank you.
I think, you know, let me just come back. We want to switch on to the financial question. You see, the new Money Bill Act that has been passed empowers Parliament to approve the budget, to detect the budget, and then the budget. And the committee is expected to report on the budgets of these entities and the deals. We have to table and formal report before the debate in the House, which indicates what our views are on the specific items in the entities. Now, the problem we have here, first of all, government funding is very delicate, as you can see from the income section. But the 15 million rand that you are saying you will get from the DOT is not in the DOT budget, which we are expected to book. So we're going to have to make a finding that that money is not there. It's not in their budget. The second difficulty we have here with this budget is that you're working on a budget shortfall of 410 million rand for this coming financial year. And that money is not going to fall from the fund. What exactly are the plans? Are you going to be approaching government for the second one in this regard? And what if we don't get that money for the guarantee? This is a half a billion men. I think we need some clarity. What we are also signaling to the Chief Financial Officer is the broad brushstroke presentation of finance that is not going to be any helpful to us. Each of the entities that appeared before us was asked for greater detail. Because we can't approve a budget just with the overseas. We can't interrogate it, we don't know what it means, we don't know how the budget is matching the actual specific plan. Now, I'll give you another example. I see here under your expenses, you've got your other expenses, 422 million rand. We don't know what that is. We don't know what are those expenses. We know that you're going to service your debt. Your loan. You don't know where this comes. Your debt's other than the other expenses. So I think what I'm signaling is that we would need now more detailed financial information. The standard method of reporting is just not acceptable anymore. It's not helpful for us to make decisions. So can we address that? That's the question Mr. Kulwani has raised. I think then all of us are very concerned that we're not getting and it's particularly important for the SADC because we do have a financial problem. We'd like to know exactly how you're going to do anything with finances in the coming financial year. You want to add on? Oh, okay. Take your question and I'll give that to the chancellor.
I just wanted to ask, is it allowed in terms of the theatre life to budget for this? I'm just also taking a clarity in terms of which section of the theatre life is it allowed to make provision for the affordability.
Definitely, this is not allowed, Chester. Of the objective fact is we came into it an SAPC, this was a serious deficit. The government guarantee was to make that, to enable us to be a going concern. We have not used the 473 or something of the government guarantee. We try not to use that, you know, through enhancing revenue collection and from government and getting more business from the private sector, you know, but it is not our intention to budget for the deficit.
Chair, I'm not sure I would seek your advice. How do you seek us to proceed to respond to this? Do we do that now with the CFO or we come back later with more details?
I think we would want responses to the 15 million rand question, but you must say whether you've got that commitment from DOC, you haven't got it. If I hear the chairperson correctly, he is saying that the 410 million rand you're likely to use the current loan that you have. Is that what you're going to use it for? Do you think it'll be available when you're going to get that? And for the other expenses and a more detailed breakdown, I think what we wouldn't want you to come back. But what you would want is a supplementary document. It will have to be by sometime next week because we've got to conclude our report by Friday next week. So we would have to take that into account. But the committee is very, very clear. We are not going to be approving, as a general rule, unfunded members. We're not going to be approving.
Are we going to just detail to them what else we need? Because it would be important for us, for instance, to understand the cost of the organizational structure, the senior management, currently, you know, the wage structure, the structure of the wage form, etc. So that we understand what is the process and how do they intend to review it.
Response which the CFO will get into slightly more detail about. The first thing which I perhaps needed to have indicated when we started the presentation on the corporate bank is that the perspective that we took this year in developing the corporate bank was already predetermined for us by the government guarantee and the targets that were set by Treasury, the Department of Communication, and the Interim Board. There was already a 3-year plan that we found in place. That was one which is closing at the end of 2009-2010, that is the 31st of March now, and going forward. A 3-year plan. What we have missed to meet clearly are targets for the first year of the turnaround plan, that is targets for 2009-2010. Which is closing at the end of March this year. As a result, you are correct that we will be carrying a deficit further into the 2010-2011. As a result of that, management and the board have taken the view that this will then be a budget-driven corporate plan, i.e. that we will set a target number, that the organization strategy will have to seek to achieve. Because otherwise you will continue with strategies as if nothing is happening. And you are going to continuously meet your targets, then you'll be off there. And you'll definitely, as we said, Polanyi said, come back again, Captain, and to come back. Because your strategies will obviously not be able to, will not be aligned to your budget. So what we are doing now is impose a budget-driven strategic approach, which I'll ask the CFO again to outline exactly what are its targets. And then all the targets that I outlined from strategy are aligned with that budget approach to achieve that. And that is a budget approach that seeks to take us out of the deficit environment to ensure that this 473 second tranche becomes the last tranche that we're taking from government. Irrespective of the fact that we will be carrying a deficit from this past year. So that is the approach we're taking, Chair, and the CFO will outline more perhaps in detail on this, and we can still come back to provide you more information. But that is the approach of the corporate plan. It is a budget-driven corporate plan approach. The new allocation of 50 million, again, it is based, as I said, it is an estimated figure, which already anticipated that the event is going to happen in 2011, and we needed to alert the department to include it in its budget. We will come back to them with a definite plan, as you know, it involves the new plan to outline issues of technology coverage, personal coverage, quite an extensive plan. However, as we were already coming now to Parliament, we certainly need to highlight that. And we as yet have not even presented to the board a complete editorial plan. But again, we are approaching it from the perspective of imposing a specific target budget number that the youth must structure its plan according to. So it is also consistent with all other businesses where they say you will only have this amount and you will have to structure your strategy in line with this amount. However, we can provide more details.
You know, there's an impression that our request for election funding will be 20%. If not, it will never be. But we need to put people there on the ground to cover the election. We need to teach people how to vote, you know, so that we reduce the number of poll papers. There's nothing political about that.
If I could just respond on the 15 million rand, the chairperson, I think, is about to argue eloquently. The FABC is a profound responsibility running election. And even from the first full general election number two, the FABC received very extensive financial support from the state to pull its mandate in that regard. It was only during what we could call the good year that that obligation was funded by the FABC itself. So we've always consistently considered this a PDS mandate issue when we request the funding. We've been successful or not successful, depending on the state of our financial affairs. So it's not something new. It is a public service mandate that has been funded by the state in the past. And there's generally normally very strong controls around the expenditure, even going forward a separate electoral panel within the SABC and election guidelines and other stuff like that. Chair, just to respond to some of your questions. There is a comprehensive budget document that was given to the DSC as part of our corporate plan that details all of these strategies down to a very detailed level. And then there are budgets that are going through the subsequent process of the board starting next week, where the board will interrogate right down to individual platforms and business units on how this money is going to be made and spent. I just wanted to clarify the 410 million is our forecast loss for 2010. This number at the end of March this year. Our budget for next year is 174 million rand loss, and that's better by 54 million rand than the government guarantee that was a position that has been agreed with National Treasury. So I don't know how that talks to an unfunded loss or
which
whatever.
Page are you on?
This is page 43.
It's
page 43, check. That's exactly what we put it there. It's the 2008 actual, 2009 actual, at a very high level, and shows the interest expense. The projection for this year, which is the 410, and then the budget for 2011 versus the government guarantee commission for 2011, which shows that we will be better than that at a profitability level, but worse than that at the revenue level, better than that at the cost management level. And that also shows that we're already 500 million rand better than last year on our cost management, which is the way the discussion is coming from. The cost management is coming right, but revenue is the issue. And that speaks to lots of the issues that the board has taken a very stern action on in trying to fix our new style of the marketing business to get it to perform better. So this has been discussed with the DLC, the 15 million rand.
Can I just ask you, so what you're saying is it's not the figure that the chairperson mentioned, 2 years ago, but it is, there is still a deficit?
Yes, Ms. Killian, there is a deficit. That deficit is less than the deficit already agreed with National Treasury in terms of their support for us in the last government guarantee. The chairperson made the point that there is still an additional 473 million that needs to be drawn down against the government guarantee requirements. And that is to not make a loss of more than 288 million in the current year, and we have begun the process of discussing an issue with the shareholder management unit and some of the stakeholders involved in that process. So I think the chairperson began that engagement in February really with the shareholder, when it became obvious that our quarterly sales forecast for the last quarter was likely not to be made. So we have been reactive and responsive in trying to deal with that issue up front. On the 15 million rand request, we would normally put that through an NTF request that comes up in July, so there is normally a bit of a mistiming around that the NTF cycle works and our request. So you'd have to look at last year's NTF request to actually see whether that was true. But Chair, I don't know what the DLC budget, so I don't know if they put that request through. Yes, clearly you'd have to check that. In terms of providing additional information, I think we come back to this question that we'll always make any information that the Parliamentary Portfolio Committee requests. That's a constitutional obligation. But we would request that information treated in a confidential way, because some of the people you're asking for now talk to you how long-term plans and the other organisation might shape up. And then, Chair, I'd just like some guidance as a CFO to understand going forward how this new bill impacts on our interaction. Because in the past it has been at a high level, and that's the situation today. So this new process, I think both parties are concerned about.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Thank you, Chair. Just only one question. In our previous engagement with the SAPC board, they raised the issue of or a concern that in the SAPC there is an old equipment. But in terms of the plan, I don't see any strategy to deal with that. Or not only buying new equipment, maintaining even that old equipment. So are you saying you are comfortable with this equipment that we have at the moment, and you will be able to take us from this monologue to EDP migration, the equipment that is still at the moment? Yeah.
Shall we take all the, we just take, and are there any other questions on the finances? Let's just take them, then we can move on to the next section. There's tea and coffee outside, if you want to. They finish all the pennies this way. There's tea and coffee outside. The first of lunch. First, yeah, so people can just go out and get stuff. Julie?
Can I just ask? You see, this is where the technicality comes in, but we need to have the background from the evidence board. I've made phone calls on the sixth budget book of ours, and I'm referring to that. Because I realize we get a schedule right at the end. But sometimes it is difficult, because this book contains some figures, say 559, and then they differ from what is presented on page 42. So what we need to know is exactly, according to this, the deficit would be 228 million at the end of the year. 228.3. So according to the new document that we have today, it would be 173 million, 893. So can we perhaps just get an understanding, because there was an indication that there will be a slower growth rate in expenditure as a result of cost-cutting measures that have been put in place. Now, I do believe, Stephen, we must just know from this book and its presentation to Treasury, the figures, to the new document that we have now, can we just have a better understanding of what those cost-cutting measures are and where they will be incurred, so that we know and understand how it will affect the mandate of the agency. And then just one last comment that I wanted to make. In this, it is also stated that the organization expects to post a surplus of 227.7 million at the end of the 11-12 years due to the projected effect of cost containment and revenue enhancement. Now, we just need to know, if we know what we are approving now and to what extent we can be comfortable that the organization is getting its sort of house in order so that it can remain a going concern. I think all of us will feel more comfortable. But then there will also be a process, as I understand, from Treasury to make sure that they give an additional guarantee so that we, as a committee, cannot pass the budget for one. So we will have to engage with Treasury to understand how we can process this budget.
Thank you. Now, let me just take all the questions. Do you have any questions? Okay, can I give the deputy a question?
Thank you, Tim. You know, I was going to say that, you know, given the question from members here and here that whether they should be as members of the portfolio committee, or like all the other issues that they would want responses on from the SAPC, I was going to say, I think that you should be doing that. That request, but two, that it is very clear that in relation to issues of finances, the SAPC may not have necessarily, you know, followed the mandatory instructions yet. As a result, again, they have come up with, you know, an intention to engage with the shareholder. The issue around the 15 million and something that they have not yet engaged us on. My request then would be, if it is possible, because one, I would like, you know, them to withdraw the story about the 15 million and here, because they have not engaged the 15 million and the board. It doesn't make an issue here. The lawyers, the portfolio committee, you know, can comment around it or even make an objective, you know, comment on it, because it's something that we have to discuss. But if it's possible, my last request would be for the portfolio committee to allow them to go and work on the issues that you are raising on the finances, and if there is time for them to come back and make a proper presentation addressing all the questions that you raised in relation to the finances. And probably, if it is possible. That's it.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
Thank you, Chairperson. I was just asked for a council break for a minute or two. I just want to make sure, you know, the South African Broadcasting Board is looming in the future, and we are going to discuss the Broadcasting Board later, but I've got a feeling that whatever happens with the Broadcasting Bill and by the outcome of the Broadcasting Bill is when it became an act, in maybe there must be a sort of financial impact when the act is tabled. I just want to have clarity on that, Chairperson.
Okay,
another
few.
I would imagine, yes, the Broadcasting Act will have an impact on us, one way or another. In some instances, politics, where I indicated earlier that it would, we are envisaging that it would remove certain obligations of a structural nature that have cost us much cost. The separation of PBS and PCS is an artificial separation that we believe the PBS bill should help us to remove, because, I mean, truly, when a person is watching a program on television, like he's watching Bafana Bafana playing in Mexico, it does not matter whether it is on what's supposed to be a PBS or a commercial channel. It is television, pure and simple. And for us to make a structural separation on the act because of that, I think is an artificial separation. So we are hoping to bring relief in that context. There are other areas, obviously, legislation will obviously impose certain obligations, some of which we were not ready or are not well yet to deliver. We will have to adapt to those realities. But yes, an act when it comes into being, we do take it into account to have an impact, a significant impact on us one way or another. I don't know, I don't know what else to say. I think the issue that the minister is raising will come.
So can we also find out which departments are owing the SABC money? In the detailed presentation, that would be very welcome, because we will have to engage the relevant ministers. Thank you.
Regina is ready to do that.
We are meeting with the department, so we are not ready. You know, some of the have made payments, but payments are not just reached at the SEC, and this is what the SEC is investigating. So that whole issue is under investigation.
We will come to that.
Just to add,
one department works through GCIS. GIS in terms of dealing with SABC, GCIS is the department that deals with SABC, where departments will talk to GCIS to talk on behalf of them with SABC. There are very few departments at the provincial level and others who go directly with SABC. So the department that SABC people are dealing with in the main is GCIS acting on behalf of other departments. They actually have what is called the substance account, the way you got the report, which represents the other department. But we are discussing with the second two, as we are discussing with them.
If I can just deal with some of the students, and please excuse me, I'm not. I just want to draw your attention in the presentation that we did. This column that we call your GGC211 is the number that you'll find in the medium term expenditure framework document, which is the thing that often you're looking for. And we have reconciled between what we call our budget 2011 and the government guarantee, and there are the variance column which explains the difference for you between the 228 you're looking at and our budget of 173. And that was a very clear statement from the new permanent board of the SABC to say we must get back to financial sustainability as quickly as possible. And to wait for the next MTF cycle was not an option that the board gave management, and they said, go out and make the loss 174, which would be better than the process. So in your request, this question of how do you engage with the budget, you'd be looking at this column GCC. So if we can just go to the next slide, please. You see here we've given you the reconciliation between the various sources of revenue, once more, and the government guarantee, and then you can see this 6% shortfall is coming from 164 million from advertising revenue. We think it's going to be 62 better on the sponsorship, and that's 2010, and then the license fees and the government grants and the like, and see how we will be better. So we do monitor this on a quarterly basis. We report as per the government guarantee requirements on a quarterly basis to the shareholder state. So if we just go to the next slide, and here again on the detailed expenditure, we reconcile for you to see where you had the cut and where you now have it. So you can see our budget is down 264 million on amortization of program performance sports rights. Part of that is the famous Confederation Cup of Football contract negotiation. Some of it is in reprioritization of programming. Some of it is in the cut of freelancers and sorting out News International and a few other things started to come through in our budgets going forward. So yes, we can certainly, and we have tried in this presentation to provide the information so you can engage the difference between what's in the MTF document and what we're presenting to you here. But clearly, Chair, if you require greater detail, we can make the corporate plan available, and then we can have a session where we integrate even further than that. I would ask that we just please keep that in the private session so that it's not a document available to our competitors, because at that point in time, we start seeing how we're going to change some of our strategies and operational and tactical level. And that could be because of this. Thank
you. All right. Can I say this meant that next week our program is very, very tight. We've got a holiday public hearing on the protest on Tuesday, with the council coming Tuesday afternoon. We've got Centre coming in, and we've got to finalize the committee report on Wednesday, maybe even on Friday. So we've got a very, very tight schedule. What I hear you saying is that you might not want to release it, the more detailed financial breakdown and business plan in open session. You see, what we're trying to establish is, are you able to give us a document which gives us a bit more detail than you have here without compromising whatever confidential
Document that was in the corporate plan.
If there is a document that can be publicly made available to us, then you don't have to make an appearance before the committee, so that we have a better sense of between West Africa and Canada. That's really the issue.
Chairperson will agree with this. We will provide details so that there are no issues like other expenses in every single thing. But what I really want to emphasize is that people must not get out here with the idea that we are still budgeting for the deficit. It's a matter of financial calculation. If you take that the rest of the guarantee has not been called before, then we are clear. We are really clear. But we have not had need to do that because our budget is all right. Although it's not all right in the sense of ideal, of an ideal budget where there is a lot of profits and surplus. But if you balance the figures, we are not in debt. I think this is the message we want to convey.
I also just say that, the new Money Bills Act sets out very clear obligations on how to report the format of reporting, etc. And, most entities have come and said that Parliament should have made this clear tonight. Our approach is that you've got a legal decision, you look at the law has been passed already. You should be factoring that in your planning and in your work, in your reporting activities. It's not necessarily Parliament's duty to give you that kind of directive. But these are learning curves. I know most of them have used the old treasury sort of guidelines for reporting, and that's fine. But we want to begin to change that process so that there's more detail and more clarity about exactly how we're getting money and how we're spending money. Well, can we then move on to the next section of the briefing, and that is the all matters related to the AG's report. Sorry. Oh yes, he had a question about the old equipment that you have indicated you're going to be putting new equipment in place. Has that been factored into the costing?
Yeah, we did. I think there were two issues that went right. The question was the last time around news. The digital use of a project is commencing, which deals with the breakdowns of air and some of that equipment replacement. In the process of finalizing the actual contract with the equipment supplier. And then that first phase of DTT, which I mentioned, the so-called digital archive, begins to deal with the next session of issues. But the digital playout centers and the rest of DTT is not provided for in the plan. The new FCCs and all of that stuff, that's an unfunded part of our plan.
You could see after the report by Mr. Gina that this one is being taken into consideration. So that's what I want to know that. But I just want to also say that since you are not presenting before the committee, we also emphasize only before the interim and the agency for this that there was a further need, a need for further investigation, either by the AG or any other institution.
Do you still need other services from the agency for outstanding investigation?
Because
I wanted
to use
the opportunity,
the work
was
not well done in other aspects.
Can I just also let's take the questions in one go because we're struggling with time now. Gina, you spoke in metaphoric terms. I think we need to get clarity. I think the board must take the public into confidence, take Parliament into confidence. Are there criminal investigations? Are there no criminal investigations? That's following up on Pershing. Is SARS investigating or is SARS not investigating? Is money investing or is money not investing? But money between Midland and Kensington Park and Auckland Park, I can't understand what that means. I think we need clear statements. Because tomorrow when we call you, we can hold you accountable and you can't do this. But what I meant was not actually Kensington Park, I meant maybe Albert and something. It's not going to help. What's the position? And this is a formal investigation that's currently being instituted. I accepted that work in progress. Some parts of it have been completed and you've reported, and others are still in the pipeline. But if there are any further investigations, we don't have to go into the details of that and people will kind of think. I think we need a clear statement. What is the exact position? Excuse me?
Thank you, Chair. Yes, whereas I compliment them on the detailed report before us, I must say I'm to a certain extent disappointed. If we look at the Auditor General's findings and we look at the suggestions that were made and proposals made, then it seemed that the board didn't take firm control and took the process forward to really demonstrate commitment to rooting out fraud and corruption. And I'm saying that on the basis of an approach that the Auditor General's findings were so clear in some respects. Tender irregularities, conflicts of interest, engagement, and not only conflicts of interest and then the silly thing that people report what their interests are and then they in any case conduct business with the internet. There was a clear procurement policy in place which states it shall be the SABC's policy not to purchase any goods or services from any employee. Now, how much clearer should we have it in a procurement policy? And then, notwithstanding that, we get sort of SABC board has commenced with a process of investigation to determine if the employees identified performed other work outside of the SABC, but the Auditor General has already done it. I mean, and the target date for the completion is 31 May. And the issue here is now they want to establish a register of those people who are conducting business for the SABC. And my understanding is if it's against procurement policy, it's a no-no. It shouldn't happen. Now, how can we compile a register of that? It means we condone that. Same with the tender procedures. There is a very clear procurement policy in place. Now, Chair, here we've had, it was an expense, the SABC had a terrible period from different perspectives. We want to get the organisations right and correctly structured, get everybody's morale up and running. But if people can get away with such deliberate transgression, we will not have a clean room approach in the organisation. And I really want to make an appeal to the SABC board. You know, the interim board was there for a period, and I see that there's reference that a substantial amount of the recommendations couldn't be implemented because of time issues. But I must say I have a huge respect for a vast amount of work that they've conducted in a very limited period of their existence. And I just want to get the same sense of urgency from the new board that they will not tolerate any transgressions of the same. You know, if we see transgressions of procurement policy, if we see enrichment, the way that we've seen it at the SABC, we must see decisive action. The appropriateness of disciplinary action against employees performing other work outside of the SABC without the required approval. That's what the Auditor General says. That must be investigated. But we hear there will only be a report at the end of May. I'm extremely disappointed, Chairperson. I feel that the message doesn't go out, and I'm happy that Mr. Ginner has at least said that he's looking at the disciplinary processes at the SABC because it seems to be extremely liberal towards favouring the labour section. We must root out corruption. We must have a firm statement. Can the SABC
take
it?
You see, sir, the board presented a strategic plan. We went through all those processes. You have said what they must do in terms of the finances to come back to us. Now, sir, unless if people were not in this room, when we take in our presentation. Because, sir, the presentation was saying you had a weak system within the SABC. As much as the AG can say this is translation, but if you go to SABC and you found that things have been happening for some time and not a single taken, it means there was no enforcement of that policy. You must listen and understand how corporate waste works or organization works. Because it will be difficult. What the general can say, these are the things, but you must go to the internal function of that organization. If the internal function or system are weak, you cannot implement it in that, what do you do? Well, that's what you say cannot be reporting. And if you read what you have said, it was written here on the report, you won't want to argue to you. We don't want people there to come and grandstand. If they fail yesterday to grandstand in the house and come and grandstand here in the portfolio committee, this is not the era for grandstanding. The report is clear to say there is a process moving forward and there are internal weaknesses in terms of policy, disciplinary processes and so on. They must deal with those issues and tie them up. We want them to arbitrarily discipline people without clear processes which are here. That's what we want. We can't say that.
Okay. Now, fine, the point is made. I think we've had two views on the matter. Can we get a response from the board?
We need your protection. Our reputation cannot just be sullied so easily. We are not soft on crime. We are not soft on corruption. We have suspended senior people in the organization because we want to get down to the real facts and start civil action, criminal action. All these things are being lined up. So really, for a member, we want to remember to incline that we are being soft, that we have no commitment to cleaning up the SABC. We need your protection, because that is signing our reputation. I've got one other member on this board who are working very hard to effect everything that the AG pointed out. It's in the process. So we need your protection.
You see, I think we must be fair in our criticism, number one. And two, in holding the board accountable, we must also not lose our objectivity. Mm. What we should do is, rather than passing judgment, we should be asking for the information. If the information is not clear, let's ask for the information, because that's what we need to do and get clear with something. I think in the way in which this thing has been approached, it tended to be unfairly judgmental, and that's acceptable. So if we can get a clear response from the board, then we understand where you are going. And Chairperson and board members, I think you are in a position, you've got a platform in front of you, just state what action you are likely to take. Because in the way it was presented, we might have had mixed signals.
Before the chairperson of the board report, what response do you need for this report before? And they went through that report by individual. What response must be in terms of this outstanding issue by the AG? Can someone tell me what response they must give? Because the report is saying that the Guinea went through the report and explain this thing. I think the chairperson of the board is correct. People, they must not come and present on behalf of other people's reputation.
Let us not enter into a dog fight about this issue. I have already indicated that the judgments were unfair. Answer against the board. But the board is within its right now to defend itself and to reaffirm position. That's what we want. We want a reaffirmation of the commitment that has been made already, that all matters will be thoroughly investigated. That's what we need from the board.
Yes, as in my eye,
if I'm going to allow that then, I want to move forward.
I only want to ask a very practical question. This is why the board and the senior management of the ACBC is present. We've heard what Mr. Gina said, but what are the ACBC doing now? We know all the troubles and problems in the past, but practical things, a system of built in to prevent people getting away with money. So I believe there is a lot of structures inside the ACBC, and I just want a mere practical answer.
My worry is that maybe we are trying to play a political game here. The SABC will say we are going to fire out the group, we are going to act on 1-2-4. The same cold group will go to media and complain, like it happened or it happened at the DOC. Why is the DOC, the DG started to act? They scream that we want to do the same thing with SABC. I think the report presented by Mr. Gill is detailed. And there's something wrong with what the AG said. He isn't fact. He's from the labor movement. The manner in which the structures are there, the deed itself, he's not convinced that it's correct. What more do you want? I'm not saying members must not ask questions, but at the same time, we must not play into cold hands.
Simply let us acknowledge that the board has submitted or a written edited report, and then they submitted a report in front of us. And the report that is highlighting that there is a work in progress. Because they will identify, they will attend to a case by a case and then see whether they need to take a criminal action or a civil action against any particular individual within the SABC or SABC. So I think we need also to appreciate that. But at the same time, we need also to say, while they are being investigating and following people, they must not lose the focus of trying to stabilize the SABC and take the SABC to move forward without also abdicating their responsibility to deal with those people who are looting in the SABC. Because I know that even at the moment, there are people who sometimes you find that they are working in the SABC, but at the same time they are agents of certain musical groups and things like that They must deal with that, with such things. But at the same time they must not lose the focus. But as the committee, let us allow the board to deal with this matter. Because we appointed the board and said they must go and stabilize the SABC, but at the same time deal with the looting that is happening in the SABC board. So we must give them that opportunity to work, but they must always come to us and report to us how far they've gone in terms of the implementing that thing, rather than trying to micromanage everything and trying to guide them which direction they're supposed to take in dealing with the tenders. Because as I'm sitting here, I can say there is a looting in the SABC. But when we do the detailed investigation, we find that there are other also circumstances that could return the SABC to act because of the policies, the weak policies, the way people, they are not implementing certain issues and things like that. So let us allow them. If they feel that they need also to strengthen the policies and develop new policies and then review certain policies, they must do that. Because at the same time, we don't want to create a situation where the board is going to SABC and undermine the right of the employees in the SABC
because they want to satisfy the community and the public. They must respect that people as employees have got certain rights. They must try to balance that situation. So, Chair, I will ask Chair, let us move forward. Let us accept this report. Let us hope they will come back to us in the near future and give us more report in terms of the processing. But let us move forward rather than starting to debate this issue and trying to say, no, we're supposed to do this or to approach this thing in this way and that way. But I think that's a debate now, and it will end up deteriorating into something else that we don't want to this committee.
Let me just remind the committee and the House where this thing came from. If you remember the last time that the FCC was there, and we asked for a specific progress report on the AG findings, and the committee resolved at that stage that the report was inadequate, that much more detailed work had to be done. And I think that's really what this is, a work in progress report. And I think I'm satisfied, the committee is satisfied, that there's significant details which indicate specific areas, specific recommendations of the AG and what steps are going to be taken. So we are quite clear with that. And I think that we accept that the reporting has been adequate. But if the chairperson wants to make a comment on the issue, I don't know.
No, thank you, chairperson. You know, we are very satisfied with that. What I want to say is we have been meeting almost every week, probably three times a week, over this issue. And our members leave their businesses. They are not paid for this. The stipend that is there for the board does not cover the meetings, the number of meetings that we've had. So to have a member implying that, you know, when is 30 June, when is it going to come, far away, it's unacceptable, because we are doing the work. Just give us a chance. If you want us to tell you the actual steps, then it's going to be counterproductive in terms of what we're trying to do. We're just at a stage where we're going to proceed with speed on certain things, but essentially we cannot publish what we're doing unless you are in committee and, you know, we discuss things in committee. That will be a different matter.
We are very quite satisfied. We understand where we are on this issue. That's fine.
We considered the advice from the portfolio committee, and we went back and reflected on whether we need the AG to come back now or maybe at a later stage, and we took a decision that let us deal with the issues that were raised, which is what we are doing. And I would urge the committee members to go back and read the AG report, because the AG report in terms of employees, it mentions some employees, and if you look at those employees, action has been taken. Some employees, like Mr. Sipon, told that his contract expired and it was not renewed by SABC, and we are considering other actions. There is further investigation, separately not by the AG, by other agencies of government, which we've invited and have agreed, and at some point very soon they will be coming to SABC.
Thank you very much. It's absolutely clear. All right. I want to bring the session to an end. Slightly over our time. Dr. Mbani, Christine, thank you very much. It has been, I think, a long session. It hasn't been a grueling session. It's just been a long session. Thank you for your patience and your forbearance. Maybe sometimes it gets a bit hot in the room. But that is the nature of politics. And sometimes it gets very cold also in the room, but that is the nature of politics also.
Can I just say through you to the Honourable Mr. Ngobane, he's no longer a member, but just to say that my intention was certainly not to think the members of the board, because I realised that it's hard work, it's long hours, it's difficult to take over the baton. That was not the intention. If I did so, I really want to apologize for that. I just, maybe it's just the nature, you know, I'm full of a false person, and sometimes I just want to see the results very soon. I understand that these programs are not difficult, but can I just ask one thing?
Do they just apologize and they accept the apology?
We
must just have the moment you're going to say something else, you're going to get them to accept
the apology. Thank you.
No, thank you very much, the dean. We are reconvening at 2 o'clock in B454. That's for Nenisa and Yusata. And then we'll give you further details around next week, Tuesday, the program, and then a number of things we need to sort out next week. Thank you very much.
Okay, we hope you will continue to feel it. It is here.
Come on, let's go.